At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
One of the most notorious groups of people in the Bible are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Although they failed in their objectives, these people worked to discredit Jesus. They schemed against our Lord. They were always in the corners and in and amongst the crowds, watching, listening, waiting, all with the hope of catching Jesus out when it came to some religious issue or certain theology. But before we dive in and take a look at why this group of people was so dangerous, there's a few things you have to understand. When we think of running away from God, we often think of someone running away by doing bad things. People run away from God in very different ways. They do this through sin and disobedience, and it's in their sin of committing adultery, stealing, or gossiping about others, or whatever it may be. It's in doing these things that they run away from the Lord. While all of this is true, there is an equally dangerous way to run away from God that we often overlook. And that is running away from God by doing good things and thinking we are better than those around us. Now, we can believe that we have earned the favor of God by doing good things, but this is not how God works. No one can earn the favor of God. No one can earn mercy. No one can earn a blessing. All of these things are freely given to us by the Lord because of His great love. For anyone who thinks they can earn God's favor or love because of the things they do, this is called self-righteousness. Self-righteous people are less concerned about their hearts and what God sees and more about how others view their actions. Let's take a look at the most self-righteous groups in the Bible, the Pharisees and Sadducees. In the book of Matthew, we see Jesus rebuke the Pharisees and Sadducees for their self-righteous behavior. Matthew 6, verse 5 says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." In Greek culture, a hypocrite was an actor in a play. They would have many different roles in a play. In one scene, they would come out in a green mask. Then in the next scene, they would play a different role and come out in a red mask. They were constantly changing their roles depending on the scene. Jesus says that the Pharisees and Sadducees do the same thing. They play different roles in front of people depending on the audience they have in front of them. In today's culture, we would find it strange for someone to stand on the street and start praying. However, when Jesus was on this earth, the Pharisees and Sadducees would be perceived as extremely holy for doing such a thing. However, Jesus tells the hypocrites that their motives are off. True holiness is not praying so that others would hear you, but praying in order to have a relationship with your heavenly Father. The hypocrites will not receive the reward of a relationship with God because their reward is others listening to them. One of the most significant problems with the Pharisees and Sadducees was that they did not see themselves as people needing God's grace. Luke 18 illustrates this well. Luke 18, 10-14 says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. In this story, the Pharisee prayed a very self-righteous prayer. Instead of thanking God for the mercy and grace in his life that has made him a righteous man, he saw the sin in others. Instead of going to God seeking mercy, he goes on to talk about how perfect he thinks he is. This Pharisee talked about all the great things he thinks he has done. However, the tax collector, he knew he was a sinner and undeserving of God's love and mercy. He knew that he needed to be forgiven, and he called out for mercy. Jesus teaches that true purity, holiness, and righteousness do not come from our actions. It comes from the grace and mercy that Jesus gives us. The Pharisee's pride blocked him from seeing his need for mercy. He was righteous in his own eyes. However, the tax collector was justified because he recognized his need for the mercy of God. He was righteous because God made him righteous through his confession. The difference between self-righteousness and righteousness really comes down to motive. The self-righteous, such as the Pharisees and Sadducees, do good things in order to be seen by others. There's always...
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
An agenda. Those who are self-righteous want to look good in the public eye. Even deeper than that, they often think that the good things they do earn favor with God. We often see this today in the prosperity movement. Many in this movement think that because they have followed the rules of God, they have earned the favor of God for protection from the sickness and brokenness of the world. While the action is good, the motive is off. However, those who are truly righteous do good out of the love for God. They have a true purity, holiness, and righteousness. They know there's nothing they can ever do to earn the love of God. They have sin rooted deep in their heart. However, they confess that to God and know that God has made a way to take that sin away through Jesus Christ. Then, due to that love, they follow the commands of God. Not so they can be seen by others, but because God's grace and mercy runs deep for them. Sometimes it's good for us to reflect and examine our hearts. Here are a few questions to ask yourself to see if you are self-righteous or truly righteous. When you do good things, such as go to church, help out a neighbor, or give money, do you do that so others will see? Do you feel that the good things you do earn you love and favor from God? Do you think that you're better than the people around you? If you find that you are self-righteous, the great news is that there is a way forward. While the Pharisees and Sadducees get a bad rap, they were not all self-righteous. In the book of John, there is a Pharisee named Nicodemus who came to Jesus in secret because he did not want any of his fellow Pharisees to see him coming to Jesus. He was afraid of man. But by the end of the book of John, you see a complete change in Nicodemus. He takes the body of Jesus down from the cross after the crucifixion and prepares it for burial. He goes from worrying about what other men will think, which is self-righteous, to worrying about what God thinks, which is true righteousness. If the heart of a man can be changed from one of the most self-righteous groups ever to walk the face of the earth, he can also change your heart. Just as the tax collector in Luke 18 came before the Lord beating his chest and asking for mercy, you do the same.
There's an old fable that took place during the Trojan War. This is the fictional story of the Trojan horse. During the Trojan War, which happened around the 12th century BC, the Greeks tried to gain access to Troy. It was very difficult to enter a city at this time, as giant walls were surrounding almost every city. To get into the city, the Greeks created a massive wooden horse. The inside was hollow, which allowed the Greek army to hide in the horse. They presented the horse as a gift to the city of Troy. The horse was accepted by the Trojans, and they brought it inside the city of Troy. After hiding in the horse for a few hours, the Greek army emerged from the horse at night and took siege of Troy. What seemed to be a good thing for the people of Troy ended up leading to their downfall. Satan does the same thing in our life. He will use things that are good or even morally neutral. However, these things are sometimes designed by Satan to be a Trojan horse and lead to our downfall. When we think of the work of Satan, we often think of him directly tempting us to sin. We think he simply tempts us directly to be prideful or to fall into sexual immorality. Satan is much more deceptive than that. He presents something as a good gift that ultimately leads to our downfall. We see this tactic from the very beginning. In the book of Genesis, God gives Adam and Eve one rule. That rule is not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. However, Satan is trying to deceive them into eating from the tree. Satan doesn't say, "Eat from the tree to join the dark side," or "Eat this fruit so you can be evil like me." He presents eating the fruit as a good gift. Genesis 3, verse 4 to 5 says, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" He presented the fruit as a gift that would open their eyes. It was a gift that would make them like God. He described the sin as something that would lead to life. However, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, it led to them being kicked out of the garden. Satan will take bad things and dress them up like a Trojan horse to make you think they are a good gift. The devil not only dresses up bad things to make them look good, but he uses good things to get the bad out of you. The devil will often seek to enter our lives as something good, such as a hobby or activity. For example, maybe you set up lunch with a coworker. That's not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, it can even be a good thing. However, Satan can use lunch breaks between male and female coworkers to lead to evil. This can open the door to adultery. While there's nothing wrong with two people eating lunch, Satan can use that for his evil purposes. Satan will do the same thing with entertainment. God allows us to make movies and music so it would lead to the worship of Him. There's nothing wrong with watching movies and listening to music. However, movies with sexually stimulating imagery or music with sexually seductive lyrics can open the door to pornography or sexual immorality. Satan will dress up movies and music as a Trojan horse, but then will attack when we let him in the front door. We often make the mistake of taking good things and making them a God thing. We lift up the good things that God has made and make them ultimate things in our life. Satan has won the battle when we do that. For example, socializing is a great thing. God created us to be people who desire relationships. It is a good gift from God. The problem becomes when we make this good thing an ultimate thing and replace God. When those friends we socialize with take the place of God, we have a problem. When we spend more and more time with them and less time with God, we have made a good thing a God thing. We have put His good gift in the place of God. Another example of this is food. Food is a great gift from God. However, we should not live a life of continual excess. While there are appointed times to feast, our lifestyle should not be one of continual feasting. When we constantly overeat, we are taking something God meant for good and using it for evil. This is gluttony, and Satan is satisfied with this because his Trojan horse worked. Computer software started to be developed in the 20th century. At the same time, people created computer viruses that would attack this software. The name of these viruses were often called Trojan horses. The viruses looked like they belonged in the software, but would eventually attack the software and try to destroy it. The Trojan horses would damage or disrupt a computer's programming or try to steal personal information. Satan is trying to do the same thing in your life as we speak. He is dressing up Trojan horses that look like a good gift from God, but this will lead to sin in your life. Sometimes the devil will dress up something that appears to be harmless. He may well dress up sin to appear harmless. But at the end of the day, that thing is straight from the pits of hell and designed to destroy you. That is why we must be aware and ready for the attack. What would have happened if the people of Troy had investigated the Trojan horse before bringing it into the city walls? They would have found the Greek army inside and prevented the destruction of their city. We should take heed and learn from the city of Troy. We must always be alert to prevent Satan from destroying our lives.
Pray for discernment. Pray for the Lord to pour out His Spirit in your life so that you would not be led into falsehood. We need to stand on the core principles of the gospel. A gospel that teaches us in John 14, verse 6, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way that you and I can get to heaven or get to God without acknowledging that Christ died and rose again. Anyone who tells you that this isn't the case is a liar. We need to stand on the core principles of the gospel. The message of John the Baptist in Matthew 3, verse 2, is still relevant today. Thousands of years ago, he preached the message of repentance, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." That same message of repentance is needed today. You do not mix holiness and sin. You don't mix darkness and light. Good and evil do not coexist. One displaces the other, and so any doctrine that tells you otherwise will lead you to deception. Any doctrine that tells you that you can freely sin and walk with God is lying to you. In closing, I pray that you will hold on to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save.